We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. High noon in the District of Columbia. If you're not following the show online, you should be. Check us out at B. Mitch and Finley. You can follow Brian at B. Mitch Live, NBCS. You can follow me at JP Finley, NBCS. Now, the conversation at hand is about the Commanders' defense. My boy Darren has been on hold for some time. DNC, what's up, pal?
Darren, what's up, man?
Darren, you're up. Put Darren back on hold.
He did a Paul. He fell asleep.
So, we talked to Cole Holcomb earlier. If you missed that interview, get on the Odyssey app, hit rewind. Cole explained that defensively they're expecting to have a lot of setups where it's just two linebackers on the field. And honestly, I think that's smart. I think as it becomes more of a passing league, you need more speed guys out there or you need more guys going after the quarterback. Robert Griffin III earlier in the week spoke about the Commanders' defense. RG3 is loved by many and is polarizing to many, especially here in D.C.
Yep.
RG3 said of the Commanders, "The Commanders' D-line showing up is more important than which Carson Wentz shows up. Four first-round picks on the defensive front has to equal dominance. Stop fighting on the sidelines and start fighting in the trenches. Stop the run, own the line of scrimmage, and create havoc." I don't think what he said is inaccurate.
He could have said what he said without saying about the fighting on the sideline. That right there was a typical ESPN thing where they got to say something to get something started.
Yeah, it was a jab. There's some snark, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Deron Payne didn't like it. Deron Payne responded on Twitter by saying, "Who crowned you king?" And I'd like Jeff to say it because I think Jeff says it in the tone Deron Payne would say it. He did a good job during the break of saying this.
Who crowned you king?
No, you didn't say it like that.
Yeah, say it how you said it before.
Oh, you want the Killmonger.
Yeah. Right there.
Who crowned you king?
Again, not how he said it before.
Yeah, you lost it, dude. I mean, you were tough when you were like
cool when you said
off the mic.
I said it regular. Off air.
Landfill, he definitely said it different, right?
Landfill is just agreeing.
You said, "Who crowned you king?" That's how you said it.
"Who crowned you king?"
That's better.
That's literally.
Still, it was better off air, right? Well, regardless, Deron Payne responded to RG3, "Who crowned you king?" And he used the crown emoji. Mm-hmm. And then Raekwon Davis. First off, the fact that young men are now named Raekwon is one of the coolest names out there because it's one of the greatest rappers alive. But Raekwon Davis responded to Deron Payne and to RG3. If you don't know who Raekwon Davis is, he's a D-lineman for the Dolphins. Been in the league 2 years. He was a second-round pick in 2020. He's also 6'7", 330. It's not a dude I'd really want to mess with.
Big boy.
Big fella. Raekwon Davis responded to Payne with three crying emojis. The universal sign for laughter in our world. To which Deron Payne responded, and I need you to help me with this term, perhaps. Payne responded, boy, a turf eater talking like an analyst, crying emoji. Jeff, turf eater?
I mean, he was getting whooped. He was eating turf.
Okay, it's just a football term.
It's a football term.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can conceptualize what it means from a football mindset, but I didn't know if it meant something else.
Yeah.
It's just like saying, boy, you a bench warmer talking like an analyst.
Got
basically
it.
How people get on Kendrick Perkins.
Got it. RG, he was more than the turf eater. He ate a lot of turf because he took way too many hits, but he could play, man. I don't think Deron Payne would have a problem with that statement if it wasn't for the stop fighting on the sidelines comment.
I think that is what made him react to it. But I also think that whether it's Deron or anybody else, eventually you have to get to the point where you don't respond and react to what people say in the media. Because I did it for 14 years playing. And I reacted to things in the media that I thought was like super disrespectful. Like one time a reporter wrote about all the guys that got cut. Oh, this guy can go back to bag and grow for that. And I took offense to that. But eventually it got to the point where you can't stop them from making their comments and from what they're going to say, what they're going to write. Just go out and ball. Go out and play. But when you react, you show that it bothered you. It troubled you. You know? If you don't think the person knows what they're talking about, don't bring more attention to it. It's probably just go over. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think they have to get to that point to where whatever somebody says, they say. That's their job. That's their opinion. Opinions are not facts. Opinions are not like, oh, this is the gospel. It's just a damn opinion. And they have to get to that point because they react to what people say too much. A lot of them.
Our guy Radio is on the line. Let's see what Mr. Radio, what up, dude?
Hey, what up, y'all?
What's
How you feel, man?
Good, dude.
B. Mitch, what's good, brother?
Good, man.
So just want to chime in on three quick things.
Wait, we playing tic-tac-toe, Radio.
Bro, don't even go there. Please don't even put that out there. Bro, for me to message you, we ain't going to go there, B. Mitch. Don't do me like that. But RG3, man, I don't know what's going on with this dude. Like, I feel like he, in his mind, he's a great analyst, but I feel like he is trying to just bipolar flip the script, going from ready to do his book and then that falling through to this. That dude just, I don't know what it is about that dude, but y'all talking defense, and that's my favorite. So, I'm going to look at it like this. I'm not worried about the defense this year. I'm going to tell you why. I mean, B. Mitch, you did it, right? I mean, you've been there. They're going into contract years for Deron Payne. I expect Deron Payne to ball out because he knows he's not coming back more than likely. And then the next man on that front that is probably going to get extended is Montez Sweat. So he didn't have the best year last year. He was hurt. So I think they're going to play well. But Carson Wentz is the key to this thing. The defense 2 years ago when they had Alex Smith coming back in, everybody was, you know, talking about those stats, right? And stats mean nothing. They were a bend. They weren't an elite defense, but they didn't break. They bend, they don't break. As long as this defense comes out this year and it's a bend but don't break mentality when you get in the red zone and not giving up points, Carson Wentz, all he has to do is not screw it up, and I think that they're capable of winning 11 games this year. But I'm not worried about the defense this year, man. Jamin Davis is going to be just fine if they go to a two-linebacker set. But it does start with those five up front, and I think Deron Payne's going to feast this year.
Radio, you're feeling so optimistic. You better go buy some lottery tickets or something, man.
Hey, man, don't. Hey, listen, we can go to MGM anytime you want since you know how to gamble over there, and you can show me what you play, and I'll be more than happy to put it down to make some extra cash, man. I ain't buying the lottery stuff. But nah, it is a contract year, bro. I mean, for real, you know how it is. He's going to go out, and he knows he has to handle business if he wants his money.
All right. Thank you, Radio. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I've always liked Deron Payne's game a lot. I think the defense should be much better this year. I don't know when Chase Young is back. I think people are making too many assumptions on that. I could see that taking a little bit of time, but I do like their defense this year.
Mm-hmm. They have the people. We just got to get out there and produce on a regular basis. And now I know Radio said about the contract year. You know, I totally despise that type of mindset. If you could do it this year, do it every year. Don't wait till you got to get paid to do it.
Right.
If you do it all the time, guess what? It's easier to get paid.
Yeah, I agree with you. The I think Deron Payne is not a guy that is going to go harder because it's a contract year. I think he's a guy that goes hard all the time. Mm-hmm. I wanted to briefly touch on this rookie hazing thing because I want to get your opinion on this. Mm-hmm. Torrey Smith earlier this week made some news, I suppose. I don't even know if that counts as news. But Torrey Smith, who's a friend of ours, tweeted out, "Rookie dinners are BS." I guess rookie dinners have been in the news because on some podcast somebody talked about a really expensive one. Torrey Smith.
By Tom Brady.
Right. I'm going to read that. Torrey Smith says, "Rookie dinners are BS. I'm glad I had an OG that realized teaching me to blow money is stupid. It does not prove you belong on a team. Shout out to Anquan Boldin. Dudes come into the league with no financial literacy and real problems, but folks think 50K dinners are cool. Nah." Now, that news came out after there was a story that emerged via a podcast that Tom Brady used to really get after the rookies. Mm-hmm. This came from Fred Taylor on a episode of the Pivot podcast, which I think Fred Taylor hosts. And basically, the story goes that Tom Brady's move, now, I believe the entire rookie class would take the
whole team out.
Whole team out to dinner.
Yeah.
So you'd have 10, 12 rookies splitting this up.
Yeah.
Fred Taylor said, "When I was in New England, the entire team went out on the rookies. It was 10 to 12 rookies for whatever it might be in that class. All I know is that bill comes back at like $50,000 to $60,000 because Tom would come in there and buy a $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 bottle of wine. After ordering the wine, Fred Taylor said Tom Brady would take one sip, quit it, and say goodnight." That is savage.
It is savage, but where did the other $40-something thousand dollars
come
from?
Yeah, it's not just because Tom.
It's not just because of that. See, and this is how, this is where I differ with a lot of those guys. I think, like, rookies, I took out people, and I'm going to tell you what Ernest Byner did for me. So I was taking out the running backs, and when the bill came, I knew that bill was way less than what it was supposed to be. He took care of some of it. See what I'm saying? And what I began to do, and I would go out with rookies. When I was in New York, I remember myself and Dorsey Levins on the team. So we basically footed the bill and let the guy pay a little bit. It's just a means of getting people together. Taking advantage of rookies is not what the whole rookie dinners are about. I understand Torrey's point, but that's not how every one of them is. I've talked to too many guys around this league that on a rookie dinner, they make sure that they go out and take care of a bunch of it off the bat. And normally, the only rookie that's really taking somebody out is the first-round draft pick. Right. And we know, and they know he got money.
Right.
If Tom Brady took got a $6,000 bottle of wine and drank it, if you really broke it down, I bet you he paid some money back to the kids or some type of way.
Well, I also wonder, if he's just coming in, ordering that bottle of wine, and leaving, you don't think the dude that's ordering the triple tomahawk ribeye, having three drinks, staying the whole dinner,
and drink the bottle of Tom
ordered? He's like, "Oh, I need the mashed potatoes, the hash browns, the Brussels sprouts, and the cream spinach, and dessert, and three glasses of cognac or whatever."
It right? happens. I mean, listen, what Torrey stated, there are some veterans who take advantage of people. You know why? Because somebody took advantage of them. But there are also the veterans like myself that had a veteran that showed me the right way, and then I did the same things. You get what I'm saying? And just like Anquan pulled Torrey aside, Torrey could pull somebody else aside and talk to them. You can still go to dinner. How about you go to dinner, a rookie dinner, but guess what? Everybody foot their own bill. How about you just say, "We're going to take the rookie out this time," and talk to him about that concept. But just not to go all together because of what one person did does not make it wrong for everybody else. You know what I'm saying? So I think that in anything. We got a lot of fraternities and sororities that are being suspended right now because some people take it too far. We have others that are not being suspended because they don't take it too far. You know, there are going to be some good apples and bad apples all over the place. And I think ultimately, as I've always said, when you say rookie hazing, I always say rite of passage. I never put my hands on nobody. You know, we had them carry our helmets, carry our shoulder pads, which same thing I did.
Carrying the helmets is innocuous.
We go in and get, like, you pick up the breakfast. Ernest Byner told me to pick up breakfast every morning. Guess who? He and Gerald Riggs gave me the money to pick it up. So me getting up a little earlier, guess what they did for me by making me get up a little earlier? I was on time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's helping people out. I don't think it's a, and that's the problem is, we buy into the stories that are written by people that don't have a damn sense of what truly happens. And we start trying to separate ourselves by, oh, I would have never done it. Everything that was done to me, I did. Because everything that was done to me was positive, I felt. Now, making us sing and like have the rookies entertain us while we're eating dinner. Nothing physical or wrong about that. It's just funny to hear some people sometimes. You know, you hear them talking about how they can sing, then they get up there and really sing, and their voice is cracking. It's funny as hell.
Totally.
You know, grab the microphone, which is a bottle of Tabasco sauce or whatever.
Right.
You know, and it's
hold
all
a stapler. It's a microphone. Yeah,
it's fun. Right. You know, I did not have a bad experience. And I think of the 14 years I was there, most of the rookies would probably tell you, man, the money I paid at a dinner be spent more than that on me.
And odds are, if you make a real relationship with a veteran player, they're going to pay for you the whole damn year.
More than a year. If you're around for a long time, listen, I can go through the rookies I had. Reggie Brooks lives with me. Till he got his townhouse. Steven Davis was always with me. You know what I'm saying? Ask Brian Westbrook how impactful it was. You know, it's just like.
A lot of it is the way you talk about Byner your rookie year.
Yeah.
He took care of you.
Yeah, and that's it. And I think the whole thing about it is don't let one or two horror stories destroy tens of thousands of great stories and great mentors and moments that happen throughout life. I think the problem, we get so caught on what this one person did in this situation, and we think, hey, that's the whole thing. Hell no, that's not exactly how it goes. It's not all positive, but it's damn sure not all negative. Rookie hazing. Ask Scott Turner. He wasn't even in the league. He got hazed, if you want to call it hazing, because he was talking so much trash. Light-skinned dude. He was a coach. He was one of the dudes. Played for the Dallas Cowboys. Ray Horton. He become a rookie coach. He's like, I've been through that already. Okay, keep talking. We put some ice and tied him up. You know, it's
you're also a maniac.
It was fun. You know, it was nothing meant to be harmful. Scott was talking trash. Scott Turner, he'll tell the story one day if he ever on air. He was talking all this trash about, oh, my dad is not going to let y'all. Right. And we just tied him up and put some ice on him in the laundry hamper. Every time I talk to Scott today, we cool as hell. So I know he's tough. You know, he been through it.
Maniacs, all of you.
Some days in training camp, we put a little something in the water, make everybody have fun. We just tell the people that we know don't drink the water.
What'd you put in the water?
Everclear.
Oh, boy. When I used to bartend, there was this one older bartender.
It was fun, man. We had fun. It wasn't like trying to harm nobody.
He would just drink beer, right? He was a beer guy. And if you pour a shot of vodka into a beer, you don't taste the vodka. It just becomes that much more potent.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some of those. My guy Charles Wallace chimed in on Twitter. He said, I worked at Capital Grill in Tyson's and was a server helping with LeVar Arrington at his rookie dinner. And they left him with the whole bill. By the way, LeVar was an awesome dude. LeVar also got paid. Number three overall pick.
See, that's the thing about it. A lot of the rookies want to do it. And a lot of times, yes, you go pay the bill, and then the next day somebody came in and gave you cash or a check. Did like that a lot.
So, let's do this. No more rookies. We're talking to one of the best in the game. David Aldridge, The Athletic, joins us next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Got on the bike this morning, 90s hip-hop ride. This song played.
Oh.
Made me think of the radio.
It's Wiggity 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 Whack.
All right.
As soon as that part played, guess who the Wiggity Whack walked in?
Mr. Anthony
Haney walked in.
Right now, time to talk to a legend, Mr. David Aldridge from The Athletic DC here on the BetQL guest line. DA, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, gentlemen? Doing all right.
Thank you for making time. You are kind of the perfect guest on a day like today because we want to talk a little NBA draft, obviously. But, you know, you have covered the Commanders through the good times and the seemingly never-ending bad times now. What'd you make of everything yesterday?
It is, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I didn't sense like there's a smoking gun. It's just more depravity and awfulness, and you know, I mean, it's just, there's no bottom, right? I mean, there's always more.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like this is the last piece of bad stuff we're going to hear about the atmosphere there. I mean, you know, the pettiness with the sour milk thing. This is just insane. This is like a 12-year-old. You know, it's just ridiculous. So nothing, nothing that I've seen so far, you know, changes at all my view that, you know, this is nothing of substance is going to happen. There just aren't going to be 24 owners unless there's a tape. That's always my caveat, unless there's a tape.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a tape, then that changes things. But until we find out there's a tape, I don't see anything changing. It's just more awfulness from an organization that can't get rid of the awful, no matter what happens, no matter who the coach is or the team president or whatever. You know, they just get overwhelmed by it at some point. It was bad. Don't get me wrong. It was awful, but I don't think it sways anybody. And the only people that matter are 32 NFL owners, 31 NFL owners. Until they decide to do something about it, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, David. I felt like, you know, a lot of the politicians, they were just on their soapboxes, trying to present stuff, and they totally lost track of discussing the things that were at hand to try to get to the bottom of that. They just brought more stuff in to try to cause confusion.
Well, I mean, as always happens these days, you know, it becomes kind of partisan, right? Mm-hmm. And again, just like I have said when I covered the Clemens steroid hearing, this isn't partisan. Either you think Dan Snyder's a bad guy and shouldn't own the team, or you think he is, or you think he should own the team. That has nothing to do with whether you're a Democrat or Republican or liberal or conservative. And that's why I didn't understand about the steroid hearing. What are we talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You think the evidence says he did it, or you think the evidence says he didn't do it? Like, there's nothing partisan about this. You know, like, so it just, anytime it goes to Capitol Hill, I kind of roll my eyes because I know that it's not going to lead to anything of any real importance. Although I do want people to have their day to give their testimony and their witness, and that's important, I think. But in terms of the big question, which I think is what you're asking, I just don't see that there's going to be any big change at the top.
I don't either. I mean, I don't even know that they're going to pull off the
subpoena.
From the experts we've talked to, it seems like that's a little more of an uphill climb than just you know, saying we're going to subpoena somebody. It actually has to get voted on and go through the process. What did you think? Because I found it interesting. I wasn't surprised at all that the organization's response got, you know, given to Schefter and he was able to put that out. It is true mm-hmm. that they have overhauled the organization. That deserves to be pointed out. But it's still the same boss at the top. What did right. you think of Ron Rivera's response and just the fact that he thought he needed to respond?
I understand. I mean, I do understand because, I mean, look, Ron, when I say nothing's different, I don't mean that Ron Rivera is not trying. He is trying. He's put a great deal of effort into it. He certainly is, put some things in it. He is trying to listen to his players. He is trying to put a different culture in there. There's no question about that. I think Jason Wright's doing what he can do, but I think it's limited. I think there are limitations, you know, and I don't think they're bad people, but I point again. Well, I mean, I've said this before to you guys and written about it. Like, somebody signed off on Sean Taylor last year. Somebody that works there now said, yes, let's do it that way.
Mm-hmm. True.
It's a disaster. It was horrible.
True.
You know, if it worked for the Taylor family, I'm happy that they felt good about it. If they felt good about it, I'm pleased with that. And that is worth noting, and that should be celebrated. I do not think it worked for the fans of this football team at all. And I defy anybody to tell me it did work for the fans of this football team. So, you know, those are the same people. You know, that's the new culture people. You know, so, I mean, I don't care about the name, but some people do. Some people have, you know, have very strong feelings about Commanders. I mean, I don't care. You have to call them something. You know, you know, it doesn't matter to me. But I know some people. So, trying to change the culture, and you're doing some good things. There are good things being done. But that does not change the fact that the top person in the organization is reviled by a large segment of the people who he is trying to convince to build him a new stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder
that
if
matters.
That's where the problem
that
comes.
Matters.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem to be changing. I did want to talk a little NBA, too, since we got the draft tonight.
Sure.
If we're talking with David Aldridge from The Athletic, you can give him a follow at David Aldridge DC. Before we get to the Wiz, if you had the number one overall pick, who's DA taking?
If I had the pick, I'd take Banchero.
That's who I said. Thank you, David.
Yeah.
But who are they going to take?
Jabari Smith guy.
Well, Jabari Smith's a really good player. Don't get me wrong. And he's an elite shooter. Like, he's one of the best shooters to come out in a draft at his size in some time. Like, you're talking about Kevin Durant is maybe the last guy 6'10 or higher that shoots the ball the way this guy shoots it, right? So, like, he is a big-time shooter, big-time scorer. So I'm not saying they're wrong. You asked me who I would take. I just think Banchero, because of his playmaking ability at 6'10, he's got scoring ability at 6'10. I think ultimately he's a three-level scorer. You know, he's not a great three-point shooter now, but again, I think that's the most overrated thing in the world is what the three-point percentage in college was, because half the time the college teams they're playing for play completely differently than they were playing the NBA. You're playing with better players in the NBA. It's just a completely different game. He'll get better at that with work and repetition. You know, I just think he has star potential, I think. I think he has superstar potential. I mean, he'll get there, but I think he's the guy, to me, that has superstar potential. I like Holmgren. Don't get me wrong. I'm just worried about the body. I'm just worried about his ability to hold up. Not his want to, not his work ethic. Those are all big time. Kid wants to be great. Wants to play defense. He plays defense at a high, high level. He wants to be a good team player. He's not selfish at all.
Mm-hmm.
None of that is an issue. He's a $195. That's the thinnest any elite prospect has ever been coming into the league at that size. And that's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask him to get to 230. much less 250, which I just can't see him holding. I just don't think he can hold it. But even 230 is going to be a problem. Now the league plays smaller now. I got that. Divisions, basketball, blah, blah, blah. I just worry about him holding up physically over an 8 to 10 year career. That's the only reason why I wouldn't take him. If he was 230, he'd be the first pick. Nobody would think twice about it, but he's not.
Hey, then the Wiz that's talking to him wanting a veteran guard, they also talked about Ochai Agbaji from Kansas. Which way you think they should go?
I Agbaji and Johnny Davis, those are both very solid guys. They're good players, but I still believe that they fall in that same kind of level that the Wizards have drafted the last 3 years, which is high floor, low ceiling. You know, just like Hachimura, just like Avdija, just like Corey Kispert. Good players, don't get me wrong. They're very good players. They're solid guys. They give you effort. They're not problems off the floor. They're coachable. But they move the needle. And the Wizards have like seven guys on their team that are good players but don't move the needle. The way I look at it and the way I've tried to describe it is Wizards 3 through 10, perfect. You're great. They're fine. You know, their 3 through 10 players are all very good. The problem is they don't have 1, 2. You know, you need 1 and 2.
Yeah.
To tilt the floor, to create that imbalance that allows 3 through 10 to play free and easy. Andrew Wiggins has not changed at all.
Yeah.
Playing with Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson now. The things that he can do, he does one-on-one with no defense crowding him, guard, you know, no double teams, no nothing, because you have to stop Steph. And that means Andrew Wiggins is allowed to go to the front of the rim pretty much anytime he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so Andrew Wiggins in Minnesota, he's the top of the scouting report. Try to take him away. So it's different.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You have to have that superstar player to tilt the floor. And I just don't think the Wizards have that superstar player. They've got really good players. Bradley Beal's a really good player. He's a top 20, 25 guy, but they need top 10 to change the narrative. And it's hard to get top 10. Don't get me wrong. It's hard. It's not easy. I'm not saying they're growing trees, but they don't have it. And until they get that guy, I don't think that anything really changes fundamentally.
Is there anybody at 10 you like that maybe they don't go solid over potential and they go with potential? Is there anybody there you think?
I would, there's a few. I mean, I would rather take a flyer. You know, I don't think Dyson Daniels will be there, but that would be the type of guy. If he slipped at 10, and people do slip in the draft for whatever reason every year, if he were somehow there at 10, I would jump on him.
That's the Australian Daniels, big point guard?
Yeah, play for Ignite this year. 6'7", long, very good passer, very willing defender, switchable 1 through 3, maybe 1 through 4. The only problem is his development curve is a little behind the other guys, right? Like, no, Beal and KP and Kuzma, and those guys are veterans.
Mm-hmm.
This guy may take a couple of years to get to where he's going to be in the league. And they may not be on that same timetable. But if you're asking me who would be a good fit for this team going forward, that's the kind of guy I would like to see them take a shot at. Because I think he has a high ceiling. You know, he has a chance to be really good. He has a chance to be elite. I think, and I've said this before, I love Sochan from Baylor because while he's not a great shooter, he wants to defend. He is a defense-first guy. The Wizards need defense-first guys on their team. They don't have that defensive mentality. They started last season with it, and then for whatever reason, and I don't know why, they stopped. They stopped playing defense.
Completely.
For the last 60 games. Not optimal. Can't do it that way.
Suboptimal, certainly. DA, we always appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Appreciate you, man.
That's the great David Aldridge. Follow him on Twitter, @ David Aldridge DC. Bleep you Thursday, coming up at 1 o'clock. Get your phones ready. That's what I had heard.
Because I never heard of Cooper's name beyond high school.
I think he got hurt. Well, dude, I mean, their father, this kid's grandfather.
Oh, I forgot the grandfather as well. But kind of a reason I didn't really like the Saints, though, because they didn't win a lot.
He did not win a lot. Yeah, dude, he...
I didn't know that.
He had to withdraw. So Cooper, in 1992, was diagnosed with spinal stenosis, which I'm okay. not... And he had a football scholarship that he had to pull out of. I wonder where he was going.
Yeah, find it out.
He was going to Ole Miss. He played wideout and was going to commit to Ole Miss.
See, that's what I'm saying. My first comment was about the three other people are all quarterbacks, and that's what Arch is.
Right.
Unless they guided him in that direction. You know what I'm saying? Listen, hey, make the most money, get over here. And you're going to get a shot because look what family you're coming from.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. That's a lot of hype to live up to. And I read something.
But that's why they all went to different schools. They didn't go to the same schools.
That's true.
Smart.
Well, Eli went to Ole Miss, and where his father was a legend.
Yeah, but.
But the son, the boys.
The people that were cheering in probably didn't know nothing about his father was playing.
But I don't know. I believe like the speed limit in the town of Oxford is 18 for Archie Manning.
Hey, you know how people are. They don't see it. It didn't happen.
Sure. I mean, that's how Pete is. It's probably how Jeff is. Jeff, what's your file on Archie Manning?
Who?
Who? Hold on. No, I got one better for you. I don't know, man. A lot of questions.
Have you seriously never heard of Archie Manning?
Yeah, I've heard of Archie Manning, but only in relation to the Mannings. Other than that, I didn't.
You didn't even know you played, did you?
I mean, I figured because, you know, you're coming from a football family.
He's a man that made it.
Yeah.
He's a dad.
To Jeff's sort of credit, like, I never watched Archie Manning play. I know he played for the Saints. I know he went to Ole Miss, won a Heisman and such. But
I'm
like,
young compared to y'all.
Hey,
Thanks for pointing that out.
The people that have all the technology in the world just don't know anything about nothing that didn't happen yesterday.
No, not only do they not know, they think it was worthless. Yeah. Like, they think it was all bad.
Yeah.
Like, you probably don't know that Herschel Walker is one of the greatest college running backs of all time.
I actually do know that, only because I have his football card. It was passed down to me, and I'm a Walker. So I was like, oh, this dude must be family. But
in fairness to Jeff and the other Youngs, Archie Manning's time with the New Orleans Saints is not exactly what I'd go back and learn about if I was trying to learn about NFL history.
They were pretty awful.
They were notoriously awful.
You want to know about the bad things, too.
I could have played quarterback back then.
No, you couldn't.
Oh, jeez. See, that
stuff. You couldn't play it in Little League right now.
That stuff. Like, oh, you know, Bill Russell was playing against accountants. Doesn't matter. Bill Russell was great. I never watched him play, but you got to be able to respect and appreciate the game before the current game.
Tell him about it, JP.
You can respect and appreciate it, but you can also say, like, okay, well, I know if I put LeBron back in that time, you know, he would dominate just like Bill Russell did, too. Or it's reality looking at it.
Maybe.
Maybe, but Bill Maybe Russell's not. Pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah, I'm not taking that from him.
He only won 11, so that's all I'm going to say.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.